Welcome to Hello Dysfunction, episode 336. I'm Potavria. Welcome, guys. Yay. Here I am. I'm here. Let me start off apologizing for the delay. This week's regular episode is on time, but we did miss a Patreon episode. Life has been lifing. I will update you guys a little bit on some chaos this one, and then as usual, I'll get a little deeper on Friday's Patreon episode. But I'm here and I'm not going anywhere, so you won't feel neglected. Let me start off with how my weekend went. Friday, we went to an audition for Naya. We talked on one of the episodes about her signing her. She took initiative and she signed herself up for America's Got Talent and, you know, submitted a video submission and everything. And they got back to her and invited her to come up to Cache Creek for the in-person audition. When I say it was neurodivergent headquarters, it was so interesting. A lot of people watching, a lot of good people watching content. However, I got overwhelmed really fucking quick. And we're sitting there. They put us in this room after she gets her little badge and everything. And there's like, you know, it's like a waiting room. And so like your family can go with you in there and, you know, your entourage, whoever. But like when she actually goes to audition, she has to go into like a private room with just the judge and like a black couch. We made like endless black couch jokes. You're going to have to take your clothes off. And that's why they really don't want us in there. And, you know, that kind of stuff. So anyway, we're in there with all the people. And there's like, I'm pissed that I didn't bring peas because she would have fucking loved it. And she's like a natural performer anyway. I'm like, I could have damn near signed her up for this. There were like little kids there, kids of all, people of all ages, old men, old folks. There was an old man with a harmonica, toddlers. Like there were all kinds of performers. And we're in there and people would just belt out in song, like out of nowhere. No warning, no nothing. They would just start singing. And I'm like, whoa, like, okay. The corner that was near us, there was a white boy there, white Michael Jackson. He had a suitcase with
so
like,
Michael Jackson.
But like Caucasian white Michael Jackson, like actual white Michael Jackson. He had like three different coats, Michael Jackson coats in his suitcase. He kept changing into them. He had like a Thriller jacket, a Bad jacket, and like a Beat It jacket. Like he
was all of them.
Yeah, he couldn't decide which one he wanted, but he was like rehearsing vigorously next to us. And I was like, fuck, I want to record him so bad, but that's wrong. So I didn't. And then this young Indian dude got up and it was almost like a battle because he got up and started like fucking dancing hella hard in that same corner. Little girls, like this little girl near us, started singing. She sounded like a Disney princess and she just broke out in song hella times. I was like, Peas would have definitely given her the vote, and been super impressed by her. Of course, I made jokes about she would be what Hollywood is looking for the most for obvious reasons. So I guarantee she advanced to the next level. It was great, though. Me and Mark were crying laughing because some guy just like out of nowhere stood up and started pop locking. Like, this is what was happening. I felt like I was in a dream, like against my will.
Could you tell who was invited for like Cap?
Huh?
For like the ones that they were just going to make.
Oh, I didn't even think about that. I didn't even think about that. Just for entertainment value, not to actually win, right?
To get the hell out of here. Just
yeah, yeah. But that would make a good show of auditions. Yeah, I didn't even consider that. But that makes sense. There was just so much going on. And I hate musicals. I've said it many times. It was like living a musical, and everyone sitting around you would just start fucking singing. Like Crystal was recording people, and I was like, I know you can't fight it. Like, you want to sing so bad right now. This is not your time. We're here for Naya. Like, I know you want to get up and start performing right now, but you cannot.
That's the place to do it.
Yeah, it was pretty crazy. Mark is such a fucking asshole, and he has the best poker face. So he is telling me about how he took the day off of work. So, like, it was an early audition. So, like, I left early. Pease didn't go to school. Like, you know, we made it a big thing. And he took the day off, and he was like, okay, you guys, like, the day before, like, have a good weekend. And they're like, what do you mean? Like, you're not going to be here tomorrow? And he's like, no, my daughter is auditioning. She has an audition tomorrow, like, for... Or he didn't say singing. He's just said audition. And they're like, oh, that's great. Like, what does she do? And he's like, she's a juggler. And they're like, really? And he's like, yeah, she can do up to 12 items. Like, she's really good. And when I say I hate you, like, I fall for all of his shit, all of it. Like, recently when he had to unclog my toilet because I had flushed honeydew, like an old fruit salad, down my toilet and clogged it, could not plunge it. I fell for his shit because he was like, you need a stronger plunger, like the one I got at the house. Like, that's all I needed to use. And I was like, oh, okay, well, where did you get yours? Proceeds to tell me plungers, et cetera, in Berkeley. And he's like, you need to go there. And I was like, oh, cool. Like, I'll try to go this afternoon. And I start trying to look it up. There's no such fucking thing as plungers. No, but I fully fell for it. Like, he gets me all the fucking time. Anyway, he got them. And then one of the coworkers, like, started laughing and busted it out that she's not a fucking juggler. So anyway, it went really good. She was nervous. It was really cute. But I told her, like, just be confident because, like, in my opinion, as a judge, you got it. Like, you're the best looking to me. You're the best. Yeah. Like, trust me. And also, like, there were some good young singers that were around us, but they were, like, all trying to sound the same, you know, and they were, like, doing Kehlani songs to practice and shit. And I'm like, they don't, like, there's already that. You know what I mean? Like, you want to set yourself apart. And the good thing about Naya is she has a really deep voice, deep singing voice. So, like, you don't expect that to come out of her. Like, she's little and, like, I don't know, you would just think she had, like, this softer, like, higher pitched voice. So I'm like, that's going to set you apart already. So, like, you're going to do great.
How'd she do?
She was happy. She was really confident. She came out. She was like, I think I did really good. And I was like, thank God. She said the judge acted, like, really happy with her performance or whatever. So she came out really happy. So they're going to reach out to everybody within a couple weeks, I guess, and let them know about the next level of auditions, because there's, like, tons, apparently.
That's the show.
Yeah, I guess it is. And then you get a contract or what?
I
think a deal. I don't know.
They definitely make you sign paper.
Yeah. So anyway, that was nice. And my only regret was that I didn't bring Peas, because she would have fucking loved that shit. I will say, this group of young dudes come in. Okay, they all got dreads. I'm looking like, are you guys a group? Like, or is one of y'all the performer? I'm staring. I'm trying to figure them out. And they come and sit right next to me. And one of them, the one that sat, like, damn near halfway in my chair, was like a bigger dude, and they stunk. They was so stank when they came and plopped down. And, you know, sit down air is, like, a thing, and it, like, hit me. And I'm like, it wasn't a weed smell. It wasn't like a,
like, musky,
stale. It was like funk. It was damn near like butt. It was gross. It was out of pocket. And they sat down, and I was just like, wow, like, somebody needs to teach y'all about cologne. I hate when men don't wear cologne as it is. I just feel like, why aren't you wearing cologne? But if not, like, at the very least, smell like some good hair products and, like, clean clothes or something. They just smelled hella funk. Like, I was pissed. But that immediately made me rethink barber school, because I was like, if some men come in with no cologne, and, like, you know, straight men's hygiene be questionable anyway, it makes me nervous. So, like, if these men are coming in for services during my school or whatever, I mean, I think I can be more picky about who I serve or, you know, cut whatever after I'm licensed, right? Like, I'm not going to just take anyone off the street, but
some people
in school, you don't have a choice, right? No. So I'm like, imagine these funky dudes just come in and they're like, I'm here for a lineup or whatever, a facial, I don't know, whatever. And I'm like, I got to touch you now and you stank. So it really made me rethink barber school. And I was kind of bummed for a minute because I was like, I will turn people away and they'll probably be like, you can't be in school.
That's proximity.
Yeah, that's not how this works. Like you serve, you know, or what if they come in with ringworms or like gnarly psoriasis or, you know, there's a lot of skin and scalp issues that, I mean, I get psoriasis sometimes. It's gross. Like I don't.
I mean, during school, they could just bring in
anyone like people. It, yeah, like anyone that, you know, needs a discounted fucking haircut or whatever.
So you just got to cheat school somehow.
Or just stay in gloves. I don't know. But if they have scales and shit in their scalp, like I'm not going to want to fuck with it.
Like lice mid-cut. You'd be like,
who? Yeah, I see eggs. Like that's a real possibility though, you know, and what do you do? I would feel bad, but I would be like, nah, like I'm not fucking doing it. It's gross.
Fresh baldy.
Yeah. Yeah. Even that though, like flaky skin freaks me out. Maybe I got to rethink that. It made me think about beauty school days back when I was growing up. Me and a couple of people I know, we used to go to the beauty school to get finger waves. I wore finger waves in my early years. I don't even think I was in high school yet. Maybe like, no, I wasn't. I was like in middle school and I would go and get finger waves. There was this style called a freeze and you would get like half your hair finger waved up to about mid head. And then you get like a style kind of up. It was like elevated and then down and like silked in the back. And it was really cute. And they would only charge me like $20. And I would go and get finger waves. That was a good time. But, you know, it was discounted because it was the beauty school. So I don't know. Is that rain? What are we hearing? That's nature sounds. Do you guys hear the nature?
I heard something.
It's chicken frying or it's rain?
Sounds like rain.
It's rain. I didn't know we had rain upon us. Well, good. This is a little ASMR-ish. I had a lot of bad news in the last week.
Oh, that's rain.
I'm limiting kind of how much I'm going to open up on a regular episode, but it's been one thing after another. And I've said before that I find a positive in anything. Like you could shoot me and I'll find something positive to pull from the experience. And it's been one of those weeks where I'm like, what am I supposed to learn from this? Last weekend was not this one that just passed, but the one before a week ago, that was when we had a family gathering and stuff. And I didn't run into, but my daughter came, the one that I'm not really in contact with right now for whatever reasons. She came and I hadn't seen her in months. And, you know, we said a few words briefly and then that was it. And then the next day, less than 24 hours later, my son gets a phone call and it's like some really, really, really bad news. Like a tragedy happened. And he comes in, he's super upset and he's like, I'm going to go. And it involved my daughter. And he got up in the middle of the night and like went to go see her. And like me and her dad had also offered to go, but she didn't think that was a good idea, I guess. Understandably, I'm not saying like I should have been able to go, but I'm glad my son went. And it just got me thinking, like my daughter is really young and she's seen a lot of fucking tragedy in her life. And I'm just like, what? Like, why is this happening? Like, it made me question hella shit. I got hella deep in thought. I was hella upset. And it took a while. I think I was more upset the second day. I think I was just in so much shock that first day. But I was just, like, trying to figure out, like, why does she have so much tragedy? Like, you know, some people get dealt more than others. And it made me think about the no broken bones theory. Have you ever heard of that? Mm-hmm. No?
Nope.
So they say, and when I first read about this, I was like, wow, like that, there might be some truth to that. They say that like when you're growing up, if you never break a bone, it's because you get more like emotional trauma than physical.
So like breaking a bone helps you deal with future trauma?
Well, like you're not getting the physical because the universe kind of knows you're already going to get so much emotional trauma.
Got it.
Like you're going to have such a hard life. We're going to do you a solid and not give you the physical also.
So you had no broken bones growing up?
I never had any. Not one. And she didn't either.
That tracks.
And I'm like, yeah. So I started thinking about that. And I was like, she never got hurt as a kid. But the emotional, you know, was so much, as was mine. And it just made me feel really bad for her. So I think I'm really going to try this year to mend our relationship like the best that I can. I've mentioned before that, like, I don't like her spouse, and that has a lot to do with why we're not in contact. I really blame it 98% on that. So
does Peace have a broken arm coming?
I don't know. My son didn't have any broken bones either. I mean, he had some stomach issues as a kid that scared us and shit. I'm like, did Bunny? Bunny didn't either. No, I guess none of my kids did.
It's time to break an arm.
It's time for me to throw her off a fucking couch or something. Like, yeah, yeah, for real. Because I would almost rather that.
Finger.
Something. Yeah, something than emotional trauma. But yeah, that was rough. That ain't even it. Like, okay, that's how my week started. Okay, that was like really fucking awful.
Fresh beginning.
Crying. Yeah. And I'm super medicated. So for me to cry, like, it takes a lot lately. Which is kind of stressful because sometimes I feel like I need a good cry. Unmedicated, I'm a super cry baby, and it's like a good release for me. I can't, I like have to make myself cry lately. But anyway, that's how the week started. And then, let's see. You know, I don't know how much I'm going to really discuss. Like the weekend came. We went to the audition. The day after the audition, my check engine light came on. Not going to go too far with it. Yeah, my check engine light came on. I have like a nice car. Like, I'm not in the mood for that.
How much to just check out the check engine light?
The diagnostic at Mercedes starts at $285.
Just to
look at it. Like, of course, they're like, well, we'll give you a complimentary, all point inspection. We'll check your tires and everything with it. I'll get a loaner, like all of that. But like, no, I'm paying for all that basically for you to even take a peek. So
did you ask him how much to just press the three buttons?
No, I mean, I can't really just tell them to reset it and see if it sticks, but Mark is handy and he has the code thing that they use. So he did pull up the codes for me, and it isn't nothing totally sick. Like, it's either a fuse or it could be a bad spark plug or it could be a misfire, which we really don't think it is with the engine. So I don't know. I don't know if I'm going to have him just like replace the fuse and see if that helps, or if I'm just going to disconnect my fucking battery myself and see it, because that'll reset the light, you know, the sensor also.
So you figured out where the battery is.
It's in the trunk somewhere. I don't know. This ain't a regular car. This ain't like, you know, so then part of me is like, don't fuck around with this car, like, because it's not a regular car. Just pay the fucking $285. I don't know. So I'm going to figure that out. I haven't even got to that. But yeah, I'm here. Scheduling got a little tricky with stuff going on, but it'll be resolved and, you know, things will be good. I'm here. I'm glad I was able to get in and record in this lovely studio. And yeah, just pray for me. I'm really feeling like I need to go see Yolanda. I talked about it a lot. Yolanda is who I go to get readings, and I haven't seen her in years, but I've sent people to her. So like she knows I'm still like around and having plans to come see her. I think I need to just go, and maybe I can make a little vlog out of it or something. The experience. She's a santera, and you know, if there is something going on, she's good about giving me the supplies and everything needed right then and there to kind of clear things up. And she's great
at, so it's an easy fix.
It is. Yeah. Whatever it is, she's good at putting together a strategy right then. Yeah. And so, you know, I need to go. She's in the city. So that's like, that feels like such a trip because I don't really go there for anything unless I have to, you know? So, and I need to make an appointment. So I think in the morning I'm just going to call because it's maybe been too much this in 1 week. You know, it's maybe like.
Take a ride share or something.
I'm not doing that. No, I'm going to go with my little check engine light on and I'm going to fucking drive out there. But yeah, it's time. It's definitely time.
She could fix the check engine
light. She might be able to. You're right. She might give me something to put in the car and it just resolves. You're right.
Knock it all out.
Oh, my dad. My dad is the other thing. I've been in contact off and on with my dad. My dad is houseless. That's a stress in itself, especially with this bad weather lately. And he's like in the mountains, you know, up north a little bit, and they get snow. So I don't know if that started, but, you know, he's like sleeping outside and he has vehicles that he could sleep in, I guess, if he really needed to, but he's not. And like, I don't know. It's just, it's just something else to stress about. But I did ask him, like, would you consider going to a shelter if I find one in the area just until your name comes up for some housing or something? Because in August, I signed him up for some housing and his name came up and then he didn't tell me.
Yeah, a lot of people don't like to go because there's rules.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that is a big part of it. When my aunt first told me, like, hey, this letter came and like he's being taken off the list because he didn't respond. And I'm like, why the fuck? You know, and I like applied for food stamps for him when I was out there. He didn't do his telephone interview, so they never gave them to him. Like, I'm trying to get you some resources and help you in ways. It's like he don't want the help. I don't know.
He just wants a house.
I don't even know if he's really tripping on it. Like, you know, I bring it up. Like, he don't bring it up.
Yeah.
Well,
I mean, I'm sure that when it gets to that point,
yeah,
they'll let you know.
Well, so I reached out because, you know, there was all this talk last week of this big storm that was hitting all of the Midwest and, you know, freezing, below freezing, all this shit. And so I thought of him and I hit him and I'm like, hey, like the weather is going to be getting worse up there. I know, like, would you be down to like stay in a shelter until your name comes up on some housing if I can come out and like re-sign you up again, you know? And he actually agreed to it. I don't know if he's bullshitting me again, but he agreed to it. And then he like wrapped up the conversation real quick. So I don't know. I don't know. But I think I'm going to take a drive up there. That was another thing that news that I got last week. So yeah.
That way you said you did it.
Yeah. Yeah. So then if something happens, I don't feel guilty because at least I tried, you know?
100%.
So yeah. I don't want my dad like fucking outside. So that's another thing that I'll go up and try to take care of.
Again, revolves around that check engine light.
Yeah. I need to just let them fix it. Fuck. But yeah, this last week has been rough for a lot of people, not just myself. Like, you know, like I said, for my daughter and for other people close to us. So keep us in your prayers, please, if you do that kind of thing. And we'll keep you posted what's going on. I get a little more personal on Patreon. We've talked about that before. So I might, like when I go live or something, you know, talk. Because I haven't really had anybody to talk to either. And that sucks. So I'll be leaning on you guys a little bit. Real quick, I want to congratulate Lovey and Tessa Jenkins. They were our December raffle winners. I noticed last week I announced the January winners, but I never announced the December winners. So I got to back up a little bit. Lovey, Tessa Jenkins, congratulations. You won for December. Tessa, I need you, if you hear this, to reach out to me and confirm your shipping info so your package can go out. Lovey, yours already went out. And our winners for January, Ruby Rowe and Carmen, your packages already went out. Carmen made a really cute post and showed what she received. So I'm happy you got your package. Any photos of you guys in your merch or anything are greatly appreciated because I want to start posting them on our social medias. I also want to take a minute to thank Robin, my dear gift giver. She's the one that sends peas endless things at random, like all the time. And she actually, this was so crazy because I was online one night. I couldn't sleep. This was also last week. And I was thinking about Santa Muerte. And I came across this video of this girl, this young girl talking about her. And I don't know if she was like giving advice for new devotees or what, but she had a stack of books on the table in front of her. So I'm watching like the little intro to her video and I screenshot it because I was like, I want to go back and see what those books are. So that was on like Thursday or something, Wednesday or Thursday. Friday comes around. I go to our PO box and I have a package there from Robin. And I'm like, Jesus Christ, it's something else for peas. And I open it and it's books in there. And there is one for peas. There's one for me and there's one for Crystal. And the book for me was the Santa Muerte book that was on the top of the stack that I had screenshot the day before. And I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? Like the way shit be lining up and happening, like to me, that's her way of being like, read this, you know, like she made that happen. Manifested. She did. Like, I give her the credit. And in December, I talked about, was it December or was it around Thanksgiving? I think it was around Thanksgiving. I was in Fairfield at my sister's and she had like a Goodwill around her. And I was at her house and I was just, no, I think we were at my godmom's Airbnb. Anyway, I was like drawn to go to this Goodwill, right? And I was like kind of bored and I was like, I'm going to go. And the girls didn't want to go with me. And I was like, are you sure? And they were like, no. And
we're a thrifter.
I am a thrifter. And, you know, I've been doing good because I've been trying to do better about my spending and shit. So that's, you know, it was kind of weird for me to want to go so bad because I really ain't been going. And it was like 8 o'clock at night. And I found a Goodwill that closed at like 9 o'clock at night, right? That's weird, too, because the ones all by me, like they all close early. So I was like, fuck it. I'm just going to go. Me and my niece went because, you know, Bunny and Peas and my sister didn't want to go. But I was just hell bent on going. So I go and like the first thing I see is a Santa Muerte statue that's like 4 feet tall.
Oh, they're on you.
And it was like $7. And I'm like, she brought me here. Like, that wasn't me. Like, I, you know, I didn't need to fucking go. It was hella cold outside. It was like about to close. She brought me there. So to me, the book was another example of that. That was her. The statue?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, of course. That's why I needed to go. So, yeah, I just feel like when shit like that happens, I don't believe in coincidence. So when things like that happen, I'm always like, who sent you? Or, you know, what's happening? Why is this happening? So, yeah, the timing was great. And that's a book. It ended up being a book that I really needed and I didn't even know it. So I'm happy. Thank you, Robin.
Shit's falling in line.
And she sent Crystal some Toni Morrison. And I really wanted to read the book that she sent for Crystal. So I'm going to probably read it first. Also, because she put in a note. This was so considerate of her. But she put in a note about some animal abuse that takes place in the book. And Crystal is probably going to refuse to read it because of that. So I know she won't mind if I read it first. But that was just thoughtful. And she sent a little book about curly hair for peace. Like, thank you. Oh. The gift of books is just great. I always like love when people send books.
That's cute.
Yeah. So that happened. It's been a week. TikTok. Did you see TikTok is like, now that it's under new ownership, things are changing. A lot of these creators are, I don't know if they're being demonetized or what, but like there's an issue with their payment tracking. I saw a lot of people complaining and low-key panicking about that. TikTok was paying people good money at one point. So there were some concerns. Also censorship. The censorship now that they're under new ownership is crazy because they've basically designated the term Zionist. If it's used in a positive way, like I love Zionism or whatever, it's fine. They'll let it ride. But if you say it in a negative tone, it's being designated as hate speech.
Wow. They must have spent a lot of time getting that technology together.
Yeah. Yeah. That's so crazy. Like, I feel like we have better shit to do, but okay. That and also Epstein has been censored. So if people were testing it and they were showing videos of it, if you send the word Epstein in a comment or in a private message or anything like that, it's being omitted. They're like flagging it and removing the word. Now, why would you do that? Why would you do such a thing? Interesting, right? So,
I had a client who was doing a Fuck ICE song and their live got cut.
Yeah. Isn't it funny when shit like that happens? It's like full on censorship.
Weird coincidence.
I don't believe in coincidence. So yeah, there's someone behind all that shit. It's awful. So I think TikTok is dying is my point. And I'm hearing about other apps. There's one that I just downloaded today called Upscrolled. I don't have my glasses. Upscrolled. Have you heard of it?
No.
It's a new social media platform. It's what all the cool kids are doing, apparently.
They're upscrolling.
So I'm like, should we try it? Let's try it, guys. Let's see. And there's supposed to be no censorship over there that we have to worry about. We'll see.
It didn't really work for Blue Sky that well.
I never even tried that one.
That was Threads. The Twitter one.
Threads, I deleted. I mean, I didn't delete. I downloaded Threads and it's on my phone. And every time like an interesting one pops up on my IG feed, I will click it from there. But I never just cruise on there by itself. Like I always have to be led there.
That's how they get you.
Yeah. And they always tell me when someone signs up that I know, I'll get a notification. And I'm just kind of like, that makes me resist. Like, I don't want to do it. I just, no. It's like bratty. Like, no, you did it. I don't want to do it. But this upscroll thing, I might try it out and see because I saw a lot of creators saying like it's a good alternative. I don't know. I'll check it out. Let's check it out.
You got to monitor. You're in the
content. Yeah, we got to stay in the know.
Yeah, for sure.
So let's check it out. My name will be my name. So find me and let's see what they got over there.
Grab that early, huh?
Yeah, let's see. Animal shelters. I think I need them more than the animal shelters, but animal shelters need plastic grocery bags that were the ones that were recently banned that I was just talking shit about not too long ago. They need them. They're making posts everywhere, begging for them. I'm also begging for them if they're clean, because I need them for my fucking litter box. And I think they need them for the same reason, but I don't want to use a big garbage bag every time I clean my fucking litter box. It just seems pointless. So I need those grocery bags that are banned. I feel like this ban is going to be like the straws and it's not going to stick. Do you remember when they banned the straws and everybody got the soggy cardboard fucked up straws? Yeah. And then now suddenly they quietly reintroduced the straws. Yeah. Now you could get regular ones again. I think that's what's going to happen.
But you hated the straws.
The cardboard ones I hated. Yeah. And I hate that we don't have these bags. So give us back the fucking bags. The paper is just not going to do it. I'm sorry. With the amount of weight and them fucked up handles, the paper is not going to work. Target is like, we ain't even supposed to be shopping there. But I know they give like these cloth, you know, kind of reusable. I get that. But I can't put shit from my litter box in those and tie it up.
No.
It's like cloth. So
it's like trying to fight not using paper towels or something.
Yeah, I mean, I'm very stingy with the paper towels. Have I told you that?
No.
I'm insane when it comes. Like, I'll save. I think I took a paper towel from your house. It's in my purse. Because I was like, this isn't that dirty. I'm going to take it. I'm like insane when it comes. Like, I'm the police, the paper towel police. My kids.
I waste the shit.
Don't piss me off. My kids don't frivolously use my fucking paper towel. I've been known to get them out the garbage. And that sounds a little crazy, but like Bunny will do it like a little one wipe on the counter with like four and throw it. No, you're not. I could use that like three more times.
Unroll those and roll them back up.
Please. Fold it and set it to like a semi-dirty pile or something. We're not fucking throwing those away yet. It makes me so mad. But yeah, I make good use of the bags. You know, I'll even reuse them like multiple times before I finally throw them away. So don't make me buy garbage. Like, you'll sell me the garbage bags, but you don't want to give me the free plastic. Yeah, it's just dumb. It doesn't make sense. It's dumb because you'll still sell them to me.
And you need those paper grocery bags.
They don't work. They don't. In this rain that we're hearing right now, imagine I'm taking soggy paper bags up my fucking stairs. It's not going to work. It's not. I want to shout out some patron members. Let's see. I'm going to try to do this. I'm going to figure out a good way, a more accurate way to, because I keep shouting out people that have canceled like days later. And I'm like, fuck, I just shouted them out because I was looking at a different list that didn't show the cancellation. Okay. Cinchy Bo, welcome. May, welcome. Diana, welcome. Patricia Ebanks, welcome. Adriana Espinosa, welcome. Lorena Reyes, welcome. Jason Shirt, welcome. Mateus, welcome. Charlotte Sternen Mall, welcome. I need my fucking glasses. Bridget Gildbeck. I'm not sure if I mentioned you last week, but if I didn't, welcome. If I did, I mentioned you again. Welcome. Sarah Posada. I think I mentioned you. And Alana the Great. Welcome. Welcome, guys. Welcome to the clubhouse. Talk to us in the chat. Jump in some conversations in the chat. Get on the lives. It's fun over there. Thank you for joining us. I have some write-ins. So even though it's just me, I think I'm going to tackle some write-ins. Before I do that, did you hear OnlyFans is getting sued? Class action lawsuit?
By who?
I think by subscribers. I think men that are subscribing are having a fit and claiming bait and switch. By the creators, by the girlies.
But a lot of those are chatbots anyway.
They're mad because they're being misled, and they're saying that, you know, they're promised all this content with the subscription, but then they're mad that the rest is behind a paywall. So they're having a fit and they're like, no, I should get it all.
It's always been like that.
Right. Right. I mean, even strip clubs are like that. Like you get a preview. Yeah. You want to go into a private room to get more. That's what we do.
A lot of them are free to join.
Well, it's like, go to fucking Pornhub or something then. Like, if you want to be a bitch, like, God forbid you pay someone for their labor, you know?
That list is crazy. People that join.
So there's a class action lawsuit. That's the
best thing they could come up with.
A class action lawsuit claiming bait and switch. Like, you'll pay a lawyer to do that, but you won't buy the fucking nudes. You won't buy the, you know, it's like, it's bullshit. But lawyers, are we surprised? No.
They're going to make lawyers a lot of money.
Yeah. I deleted my OnlyFans like a year ago. I did not know, and nor do I care, but people that bought content from me would have had access to it for life, right? Like, they would have owned it. But when I deleted my account, it took it away. So I got a couple complaints, not a lot, but I got a couple like, hey, I can't access what I bought anymore. And I'm like, oh, I don't know what you're talking about. That wasn't me. I don't know. I don't know what you're talking about.
It's no longer in their DM or the direct message. Content has disappeared.
It's gone completely. Anything they bought is gone. I mean, had I known that ahead of time, maybe I would have left it for them, you know, but I didn't know. So I can't do shit about it now. Yeah. It is what it is. And the owners, of OnlyFans are staunch in Israel supporters. That's what I'm not doing it.
No,
I'm not lining your fucking pockets. So
let's join the class action then.
On the other side of things. Yeah.
Right. Tidbit.
Yeah. So, I mean, hey, if you want to get a settlement out of them, I'm not mad. Send me some of it.
They just took all Tyler, the Creator, took all his stuff off streaming. Apparently.
What kind of streaming?
All the platforms. You can't stream his music.
What? Wait a minute.
I just saw this.
I don't think that's true.
It is. I mean,
I just was listening to a feature earlier. Let me see. Let's see. It's not true.
All of his music is on Apple
Music. I don't use Apple Music. He took it off of Apple Music. I don't use that.
I'll find you the
I use a different streaming platform that I won't mention because they're not good people either. But the one that I use, all of his shit is still there.
Got it.
So don't come on here telling lies. Don't be lying to my friends. Okay, the OnlyFans thing, and then I think I was watching someone streaming. They were in the midst of like the storm in the Midwest or something. They were all concerned about the roads being closed, and they were thinking about a hospital, and they were talking about like, I think they were a hospital. Oh, they were a hospital employee, and they were talking about how the staff, their boss, whatever, don't give a fuck about a storm. They're like, you better get here. I don't care if you got to spend the night here. You better get here, right? And it made me think about a trick I had. I think it was UCSF in San Francisco. There was a doctor, and he was like Brazilian or something, and he was kind of attractive. And he would call me, a provider, to come see him in the hospital. And we would take an exam room and we would play in an exam room. And security walked in before and caught us. And he like shook his head and was like laughing to himself and closed the door. And it just made me think, what be going on in the hospitals after hours? Because that wasn't like a big deal. And it's kind of interesting, like hearing about how many staff spend the night, you know, like if they're working doubles or whatever, like, you know, they have rooms that have beds in them, little cots and shit. But this was an exam room that we were in. But it makes me think, like, I bet hospitals after hours like get freaky. I thought that was like a one off thing that this dude was booking me for. But the fact that security didn't react the way I thought security would react, I don't know. I think it's a regular thing.
I think it is, too.
I also had a client that worked for Yahoo, and me and my friend did a double, and we went out there and saw him at the Yahoo offices after hours, and security walked in on us there too. And I'm thinking, is that a thing? Like, are you friends with security and you're setting us up and you're telling them to walk in at a certain time? It's starting to feel like it.
These are billion
that happens
companies.
A lot.
These are rich people.
So anyway, that security wasn't tripping either. And that was a young dude. And he just kind of giggled and apologized and closed the door. But like, yeah, offices after hours and hospitals, I think that it'd be interesting.
I think, yeah.
People are sneaky. I think people are sneaky everywhere. That's the takeaway.
And they don't want to go home.
Like, and they do not want they don't want to go home. Maybe they can't leave. Maybe they're working so hard they can't leave the office or whatever. And they're like, you know, I could get away with it here and not have to pay for a room. I don't know. But yeah, there's been a lot of that.
Sounds wild.
Yeah. So if you have a story about seeing someone at their workplace, let me know. Write in so I can talk about it and we can swap stories. Speaking of, we got some write-ins. As I mentioned, and even though it's just me, I want to read them and talk about them. So let's see. My service is a little weird. Oh, here it goes. I was going to say my service is acting weird. It's that rain. All right. Hello, Theas. Was just listening to you talk about the My Strange Addiction episode where the lady was doing semen facials and how Pat had a friend who said it helped her acne. Well, when I was 15, my grandma, for I don't know what fucking reason, felt like she needed to tell me that if I give a guy a blowjob, the semen is good for my skin. Okay, that's all I got for now. Love y'all. Bye. Thank you, Mia. We get a lot of weird grandma stories. Like, there's some fucking inappropriate grandmas. Like, was that useful? Probably not. Because I don't think that's even true. So, grandma was being weird.
That was made up by man.
Yeah, and she just fell for it. Okay, let's see. This one is about some problems, I think. All right, I'm going to do this one. Hello, Crystal and Pat. It's just Pat today, but I will pass it on. I recently quit cigarettes and weed, both cold turkey and both at the same time. Additionally, I've decided to tackle my social media and doom scrolling addiction by deleting TikTok and Instagram off my phone. I'm 25 years old and until recently was a near daily user of cannabis since I was 19. I'm proud of you. I picked up cigarettes about a year ago and have decided to quit because I no longer want to be a slave to big tobacco. As my 26th birthday is approaching, I'm realizing the importance of health and the weight my actions hold. Time is fleeting and I don't want to regret my choices later on. I figured that while I'm young and ahead, I'd focus on doing the right thing. My father always instilled that in me growing up. Now that I no longer have any addictions to numb or distract me, I feel this void. It's not sadness per se, but rather this emptiness inside that I desperately want to fill. Part of me wants to light up a cigarette. Another part of me wants to eat an edible. Another part of me wants to call up this guy that I see from time to time when I'm lonely. That's not really my boyfriend. But I'm remaining steadfast in my decision to quit, and I don't want a temporary fix that'll leave me feeling worse after. Good girl. I'm not sure what the exact cause of this void is. In all aspects, I have a very blessed life. I'm not lonely. I have friends and family that love me. I have a roof over my head. I have a job. I have a degree from a good school. I have both parents in my life. I think that perhaps my dopamine may be messed up from my chronic weed use. Absolutely. And perhaps social media use. Absolutely. From an early age. Now that I don't have a vice to cling to, I'm forced to confront some uncomfortable truths and feel my emotions raw. I can't run or hide or distract myself. I've done a ton of therapy, including drug therapy and counseling. I am considering EMDR therapy, though. I do think that I'm spiritually void, as I made the decision to leave organized religion last year because I found it very patriarchal.
Patriarchal.
Yeah, that. Spirituality is something that I'm interested in exploring beyond the context of organized religion, though. Have you ladies ever experienced anything like this? Do you have any advice for filling this void? Love you, longtime listener and fan. Memes. This timing is crazy. First, let me say I'm really proud of you for taking these steps and letting go of like things that you found toxic in your life and being so well-spoken and so self-aware at your age at 25 is fucking crazy. So I really want to give you credit for all of that. Also, walking away from organized religion, I think is great. I'm not a fan of organized religion because I don't think you need it. And paying for it is a big part of being included in it. And I think you can have a relationship with whoever you worship without that part of it. I get the support, you know, and I get the sharing space with other people that are on the same path as you. But there's way too many examples of pastors with fucking 10 Cadillacs and fucking mansions and shit that don't care about people. You know, they're just trying to make money. So I'm not really big on organized religion. I'm curious what type of spirituality you would be interested in exploring, as you mentioned. If you are interested in Santa Muerte, this could be a message for me to invite you. I don't know. Let me know. But as far as like feeling that void, I feel you. Like, you're going to have, this is a person, the sober you, like, when was the last time you sat with that person? You know what I mean? Like, I look at people that are giving things up, and I assume that's going to be a hard part of it, like, to create new habits and be comfortable with your true self, not your smoking self, not your high self, not your fucking drunk self, like, whatever it is. Like, it's kind of like you're reintroducing yourself all over again. So give yourself grace and take your time and, you know, explore things creatively, like, get some hobbies and fill that time with something positive and something that hopefully, like, you could look back on. Like, if you create some art, it would be nice to look back when you're older and be like, and remember that point in your life and have something physical to look at. I don't know. Read some good books.
Stream all your past episodes.
Stream all my past episodes. Join our Patreon. Get on our YouTube and comment and like and share.
Just giving up socials. It's like,
giving up socials is, you know, I'm curious also if you're going to be able to stick to that. I don't know. That's how I interact with most of my family. Like, we don't get on the horn with each other, you know, like, I send them a DM or I send them something funny. Like, I don't be on the phone with my family or nothing. So if I got rid of socials, I would be so much more isolated than I already am. So that's big. I'm curious if you'll continue that. But if it's cutting into your work or like causing problems for you, I totally respect it, because I remember when I worked a real job and the internet, this was back 100 years ago. And, you know, I was on the computer and I basically was like HR, like manager for HR department of like a construction company. And I spent tons of time on the computer. And I like found myself in these forums, these fashion forums, where I like made friends, some of which I still have contact with to this day. And that was like I said, 100 years ago. But then I also started watching porn at work, and that got out of control. And like the internet, I get it. Like, shit can take over. Like, it got so fucking weird. I'm so glad I don't work for anybody anymore, because there were times like in my office, I was like, I remember I really liked Sean Paul at the time, like if to give you an idea of when that was. And I was like, he's cute. And I would play it hella loud and watch his music videos in my office. I think I really liked Pharrell then, too. I did. Pharrell and Sean Paul. And I would like watch their music videos and be all up on the internet. I think MySpace was really popping then. It took up tons of my fucking time anyway.
You're just designing the page.
Yeah. Yeah. And I was all like HTML, like fucking all into that. Is that like coding? Is that like to make your glitter and your background? And yeah. I want my song to start as soon as you come on my page, but I don't want you to see the link. I just want it to play. Like, it was like really in depth and it was great. It was a good time in online. But it took up tons of my time, and it's probably why I ended up losing my job. I think the internet played a big part. And
porn will do that at work.
Porn. I was watching, and you know, like, my interest in porn is not like regular fucking. So it was like shit that I should not have been on the company computer exploring. It was like, it was really weird. But good times. Keep me updated. Let me know. Let me know how that goes. Okay, got another one. I've been listening to you two for about 5 years now, and you become like trusted friends through so many life moments. I'm writing in because I'm entering a whole new chapter and could really use your wisdom. I'm 10 weeks pregnant with my first baby, and I'm genuinely so excited about it. At the same time, my mom passed away 2 years ago, and our relationship was dysfunctional my entire life because of her drug use. I'm feeling a lot of worry, nervousness, and fear, mainly because I don't really know what it takes to be a good mother. I'm trying my best, and my boyfriend is incredibly supportive, which helps so much. But I also deal with depression, and I'm scared that could negatively affect my child somehow. This is also new to me. Have either of you experienced these kind of mixed feelings during pregnancy? Grief mixed with excitement, fear of repeating patterns, or just not knowing if you're cut out for motherhood. Any advice you can share would mean the world. On a much lighter note, to end on a high note, Pat, what hair dye do you use for your sleek black color? I'm always chasing that perfect rich black, but mine fades so quickly no matter what I try. Any tips or product recommendations? Thanks so much. You're the best. Can't wait to hear what you think. Kiss, hug, Shannon. Shannon, it's funny you asked that because I just dyed my hair about 2 hours ago. So when you do see this on YouTube, hopefully you'll watch it. It's super black today. There's a little cheat, okay? The cheaper the hair dye, the blacker and the most saturated and the most stained it will be. I use Revlon Color Silk. I use the one with the Asian lady on the fucking box, and it's blue black. It used to be like $2 a box. I kid you not. It's gone up. I think Target, it's like $5. I think at like the grocery store and shit, it'd be like $7. But it's like the cheapest fucking black dye that you can get. But it will never leave your life. Like, it will never fade. You will never be able to lift it. So make sure you're ready for that commitment because you will never get it off. But that's what I use. And for my stripe, if you're interested, I use like a Feria. It's like a whatever super platinum one they have. It's like a white platinum Feria. But yeah, I'm telling you, it's the best black dye ever. The cheaper you go, there used to be one in high school. My friends used to use this Asian one that they would get in Chinatown. And it was like same thing, hella cheap, probably $2 or $3. And that shit would cover and it would never, ever, ever fade, ever. But I don't know the name of it because it wasn't in English. But if you go to Chinatown and, you know, if you're near one, you could always try that. Oh, the motherhood thing. Okay. We had bad moms. Okay. And for me, I was ready to be a mom by the time I was in high school. I was like wanted babies. I wanted twins so bad. I was just like, I wanted a family of my own. Because of my upbringing and just not having support, not growing up with parents, shit like that. I was just ready to start my own fucking family. I never had the concern that I would do, that I would fuck up or not be cut out for it or be a bad mom, because I had such a clear example of what not to be. So I think when you have like a parent on drugs or a parent that's just a bad mom, that's absent, whatever, just fucked up, you can do one of two things. Either you follow in their footsteps because it's what you know. Hopefully this doesn't happen often. Or, you know, to do the opposite of what you had an example of. And for us, we just knew that we knew what that felt like and how bad that fucked us up and that we never, ever wanted to do that to our kids. So the fact that you're even concerned, I always tell people this, the fact that you're even worried about that and that's even a concern on your mind is a clear indicator that you're already a great mom, because great moms don't have those worries. They just do what the fuck they want to do. And they're usually selfish in whatever it is. So you already, your baby's not even here and you're already like a great mom. So just keep it up and you're going to do great, and try not to panic when they get fevers or if they roll off the bed. Each one of my babies has rolled off the bed at least once. Well, once. And I remember the first time I was like, oh my God. And I tore their pajamas off and was checking their body for bruises and screaming and crying and freaking out, ready to throw up. They were fine. Like, they cried for a second. They were fine. But that happens, you know, sometimes with babies, you just do your best. Don't freak out over the little things. That first one, you're going to be like super, super, you know, into it. You're going to buy all the stuff. By the time you have a third baby, you're going to know what's not necessary. You're going to know what you don't need to panic about. It gets easier with each kid for sure. So just be patient with yourself. Don't panic. You're being a mom for the first time, you know, just remember that. We all been there. Okay, I got another one. Hey, y'all. I just wanted to write to you from downtown Minneapolis and say thank you for the solidarity and standing with us. Fuck ICE. And a huge shout out to the Bay Area in general, because I was at our local bar when a lady from San Fran called into the bar and offered to buy everyone who was protesting a few drinks. She bought my friend and I 2 shots each. It's been a negative 20 degree weekend, so that definitely warmed our souls in more ways than one. I told the lady on the phone that my favorite podcast is from the Bay Area. Hello, Dysfunction. And all my love to y'all and to California. Fuck ICE. Free all places under occupation. Fuck Nazis. Fuck the secret police. And all cops are bastards. That's it. I love y'all. Thanks for being my aunties. We are besties in my head. I hope to make it to a live show or something someday. I hope you do too. And hang in there. It's fucking crazy. I'm watching every day what's going on out there. And yeah, we stand with you guys. And I hope it gets better. The shit with ICE is fucking disgusting. I don't even want to go into that. I have enough going on. I don't even want to make myself mad right now talking about how bad they are. But just know we're there with you in spirit. This is about a mushroom trip, I believe. We just talked about that last week. Hi, my Theas. Currently watching your podcast, and I got to the part where you were asked about your mushroom trip and would you recommend taking them? Well, I have a funny little story for you both. One summer, my friend came up to visit for a week. It was a blast, and since we're both out of the military service, thank God, we had plans to go to the drive-in movies to meet up with our friends. It was a double feature, Twisters, and then Deadpool and Wolverine. Prior to showing up to the movies, I partook in a little bit of mushrooms. I've taken them before, so I have an idea of what I'm getting myself into. Turns out I took way more than normal. Twisters was playing, and I was thinking, like, damn, I'm cold. This movie is hella corny. I'm going to go back to my car and get cozy there. Sitting in my car, scrolling through Instagram reels, I slowly start to notice the videos were glitching. The colors were getting very saturated and vibrant. The shrooms were finally kicking in. I stopped looking at my phone and I was trying to ride out this trip. My friend broke off from the friend group and stayed in the car with me, and she was high because she was smoking a weed vape. Her high was pretty mellow compared to mine. I'm sitting in the passenger seat tripping. Deadpool came on and I was peeking. I was so grossed out from whenever he had his mask off and his tumors were moving all over his face. Every character in that movie looked like they were melting. And whenever they were talking to the fourth wall, I felt like I couldn't breathe because I was so focused on what they had to say to us in the audience. I was trying to play it cool, but I'm pretty sure I looked really silly. And every time I closed my eyes, I was seeing weird patterns like I was in an Alex Gray painting. Fortunately, my trip ended that night, and I laugh about it now because I really did fly too close to the sun with how much I took. So my takeaway from this is please research what kind of mushrooms you're getting into and start off with a small dose. I hope this story wasn't too long, but I thought this was funny to share. Love you both. Free Palestine. Fuck ICE. Fuck Trump and every motherfucker who supports that pedophile. Love, Selena. Thank you, Selena.
Sounds like a good trip, though.
Yeah, it does. And with friends. So that's great. I do want to do them again the right way. Not how I did. You didn't hear the episode, I assume. But the only time I did shrooms, me and one of my girls at the time, we were drunk. We came from a bar. We were at a friend's house. I just told the story, but I'll tell a quick version now. We were drunk. A trick earlier that night or something had gave me a zip of shrooms. And I was like, hey, guess what I have in my pocket? I just remembered, even though we're already drunk, I think this is a really good idea. The person whose friend's house we were at didn't want to do any. So I was like, fuck it, we'll just do them. And so me and her proceeded to split them in half into like 2 little salads. I remember calling them salads. And we each took half an ounce of shrooms each for our first, my first time. She was drunk and was just going along with whatever I say, because people tend to do that even when it's not a good idea. And we ate them and I collapsed. That's the story that she's mentioning. Ambulance came, paramedics robbed me. It was all bad. I'd like to do them and have a good something like this in a controlled, safe, supervised environment. I would like just a little bit, maybe some music, some colors, a movie. I don't know. Yeah, I did it all wrong. I tend to do drugs wrong, so I just don't do them because I think I've overdosed on everything I've tried at some point. I don't know how to stop, so it's not good.
Yeah, no one does that many shrooms.
Hi, I'm going to read another one. Hello, ladies. I'm reaching out today to get some support. I work at Highland Hospital in Oakland, and we're facing some major budget cuts. One thing they're considering is completely eliminating the plastic surgery department. If you know Highland, I know what you're thinking. Nobody is getting a facelift or liposuction at Highland Hospital. But believe it or not, okay, pause. I'm thinking of reconstructive plastic surgery at Highland. Not just electing to get it to be cute. Is that a thing?
Highland Hospital where?
In Oakland, California.
I thought that was for gunshot victims.
Yeah, it is. It's like a trauma hospital. Yeah. But so that's what I'm thinking of, like accidents or gunshots or something, and like a reconstructive plastic surgery.
They could have good surgeons at those places.
Maybe. Okay, let me finish. Where was I? Oh, okay. But believe it or not, we actually do have a lot of reconstructive surgery. Okay, see, I was right, and I swear I didn't read that part. We actually do a lot of reconstructive surgery and breast reductions. Can I have one? Can you recommend? Highland is a safety net hospital and takes anybody in. So if you're going through a rough time in your life and can't really afford medical care, Highland's the place that you're going to go, and they'll figure something out for you. What our management is saying is that the people of Alameda County that can't afford medical care don't deserve reconstructive services. And I want to remind everybody that in this economy, we could all end up there. So if you guys can reach out to the CEO, James Jackson, here's his email, jetjackson@alamedahealthcaresystem.org, and let him know that we need this as one of the only level one safety net hospitals in the East Bay. Yeah, that's shitty. Don't, like, if poor people need reconstructive services, fucking give it to them. Like, what do you mean you don't deserve? Don't be a dick, Jet Jackson, James fucking Jackson. Yeah, I'm going to send an email, and I would like all of you to as well. This name that just popped up is my baby daddy's rap name. One of my baby. I just got scared. Like, I know a bitch ain't emailing our fucking show. But no, they're not. It's not him. And I think I already read this one last week. Sorry. It's about OCD and ADHD. And I'm pretty sure me and Crystal talked about this on 335. So I'm not, if you want to hear about that, go listen. Yeah, I think that's it for write-ins. So thank you guys for hanging with me. I love you. Please rate, review, subscribe. Leave some comments on YouTube. Tell me what you think. Do you hate this? Are you happy I'm here? Let me know. Okay. Suck it easy. Go to bed.